Good morning out there. Welcome to the Talk of Pittsburgh 1320 WJAS. Daryl Grandy here, and welcome back to my good friend Chuck O'Neill, Executor Services. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Daryl. How are you today?
Doing all right. Always good talking to Chuck, and always good talking to Mike Nally from Nally, Elias, and Associates PC. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Daryl. Great to be back. Hope you're doing well.
We got another in the series here from Executor Services and Nally, Elias, and Associates. Talk about some of the things you need to know when it comes to executorship of an estate. Again, Chuck O'Neill, Executor Services, LLC, 412-515-0141, executorservices.com, located in the Upper St. Clair area, as well as Mike Nally, Nally & Associates, located in Center Township. That would be 724-375-4005, on the web at Nally Law. That's N-A-L-L-I, nallylaw.com. And Chuck, take it away, man.
Thanks, Daryl. Mike, welcome back. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Indeed. Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
So last time we finished up, we were talking a lot about the real estate aspect of an estate. And we talked a little bit about the importance of inventories involved with the estates and appraisals, the cleanouts, how to handle those and coordinate those, selecting a real estate agent, which is a critical component of selling real estate from our perspective at Executor Services. And then also there's the aspect of, you know, what is the sales price? What's the asking price? Different things like that, how you entertain offers. Those are all components that Executor Services can help an executor with in conjunction with the estate attorneys. Now, one of the things that we're looking at is the closing. The closing is the part of selling the real estate is where everything has to come together at the same time. All the documentation, all the agreements, all those kind of things have to be dead nuts on, or potentially the closing doesn't go through. I know I experienced in some of the closings that I've been involved with where because of COVID and some of the other issues out there, it's not a quick process sometimes to close. Sometimes they have to reschedule because of the banks and the closing companies, their schedules. I did a little bit of research, and how we talked a little bit last time was that the real estate agent really is a critical part of the team when it comes to this. And just as a number, in 2021, 92% of homes in the U.S. were sold using an agent or a broker. So, Mike, what's your perspective on this from an estate attorney's perspective?
Well, Chuck, one of the things that we always tell our clients when we're representing them as the administrator or executor of the estate, they should always look to engaging a realtor. And because for one reason, plain and simple, even if it doesn't specify that in the will, in the Pennsylvania probate code, the administrator or the executor is permitted to retain a real estate professional to assist them in selling any real estate contained in the estate. And the other thing, too, is that with the way the real estate market has been, particularly here in Western Pennsylvania over the last couple of years, having a real estate agent really is in the best interest of the executor and the administrator, because as we talked about last week, Chuck, a lot of times if you try to do it without one, you may not either get the best quality of buyers in terms of creditworthiness, and also you don't have the pool of buyers that you can get from a real estate agent.
So with my experience with the real estate side of things, there are other things that are also involved. For example, if the residence is in a homeowners association, homeowners associations may have their own rules that go on top of selling a property. I know we experienced with my sister's estate that we had to have a separate survey done. So, and that adds more complexity to the executor's tasks. One of the things that I wanted to talk a little bit about, just from sort of the beneficiary's perspective of all this happening, when the sale of the house is complete and the closing occurs, all of those funds that come from that transaction are not necessarily immediately available to the executor for distribution. As an example, if let's say you had a house and it sold for $265,000, the closing company is going to escrow $33,000 of the proceeds. So that's after the mortgage has been paid off, any liens or anything against the house. That net amount that comes to the executor for the estate will also have this escrow amount taken out.
Correct.
So can you talk to a little bit about how the timing of that, how long that takes for escrow to go through the process, when it becomes available to the estate?
Absolutely, Chuck. So to go into detail on this and what the background on it is that in previous years, when I first started practicing, settlement companies that handled real estate transactions or law firms that handled them would never require this, known as an inheritance tax escrow. And what it is, as you very nicely described, it's an amount of money that's held back from closing until the Department of Revenue in Harrisburg reviews, assesses, and essentially clears the estate of any inheritance tax obligations. Now, why was this put into place? It was put into place because title insurers were running into the problem that So in the old days, the attorney that represented the administrator or the executor would essentially issue what's called an indemnification letter, basically telling the law firm that's handling the closing or the settlement company, hey, look, we're going to make sure that we take care of the inheritance tax obligations and we'll hold you harmless from any responsibility. Chuck, you can predict what happened next.
Sure.
People weren't following through on their obligations. They weren't filing inheritance tax returns. They weren't paying the tax. And as a result, the Department of Revenue were imposing liens on the real estate. Now, the title companies and their settlement agents were getting into legal issues. So now at closing, this will be done for every closing on an estate where either the inheritance tax return, typically it's either not been filed or even when it's filed, the clearance has not come back from the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue. And it's actually a good policy because what it does, it protects the executors, the attorneys, it protects everybody in the transaction, and it holds our feet to the fire and our clients' feet to the fire to make sure that we're properly handling the filing of the inheritance tax returns.
So what that means to an estate from an executor's perspective is that while those funds will eventually come back to the estate for distribution, there is a delay from the closing date or from when those things happen to when that money actually becomes available for distribution. And some of these, I think, is where disputes start to occur, right? Everybody knows that the house sold, but there's details and processes that delay that. I think one of the areas we talked about was the inheritance tax return. It takes in Pennsylvania up to 5 months to process.
Correct.
Which is outside of anything that the estate attorney or the executor has control of.
Right.
So beneficiaries need to be aware of some of these things. And that's where having regular communications from the executor to the beneficiaries is critical. And I think that's where executor services can really help the processing and settling of estate with the executors, keeping them on track and being able to provide additional details along with the counsel of the estate attorney. Because it really comes back to that team is the group that makes things happen.
And that's correct, Chuck, because executor services, having its skill set, is able to explain to the executor and to the beneficiaries, maybe in a way that, and the same with the estate, the attorney for the executor, in a way that maybe the executor herself or himself can't properly explain to beneficiaries. Because as we talked about last week, when there are delays or when there is lack of communication from executor to beneficiaries, that creates the lack of trust that springs up.
Oh, this is great stuff, Mike. It looks like we're up against a break, so we'll be back in 60 seconds, and we're going to continue the conversation.
This is Chuck O'Neill with Executor Services. Have you been appointed as an executor? Are you concerned that you do not know enough about the executor duties and obligations? Executor Services will assist and advise you as well as perform 80% of the tasks. We will provide you with guidance, timelines, formal documentation, and reports to keep you on track while providing the rest of the team with the details they need to do their part. We are currently offering a free consultation. Give us a call at 412-515-0141 or online at executorservices.com.
All right, we're back with Chuck O'Neill from Executor Services, 412-515-0141, or on the web at executorservices.com. And I'm here with Mike Nally.
And Michael Nally from Nally, Lias & Associates, PC, located in Center Township, servicing Western Pennsylvania, and on the web at www.nallylaw.com or at 724-375-4005.
Mike, so before we went to the break, we were talking sort of about the complications of distributions from the sale of a house and things like that. But it even gets more complicated as we start talking about all the different potential taxes that are involved with an estate. So can you talk to us a little bit from, especially the estate attorney's perspective, things that folks involved with the estate really need to be aware of that are out there?
Yes, Chuck. And we've talked a little bit about the Pennsylvania inheritance tax, which in our previous segments we've talked about. That's a tax that every estate faces. There's no exclusion amount to that, meaning if you're administering an estate worth $500 or an estate worth $500 million, both estates still have inheritance tax responsibility. Now, we also have a federal estate tax. Now, thankfully, there's been a lot of legislation over the past 10 or 11 years that's pretty much made that to where 99% of estates don't have to deal with it. However, it's important to know this if you're an executor, particularly if you have an estate that's high in value. Right now, in 2022, there is a $12,060,000 exclusion from federal estate tax, and that's per person. So what that means is that if your estate is below that amount, then there is no need to pay any federal estate tax. The federal estate tax rates are rather high. The average rate is around 40%. So that's a very, very high tax. Now, what's very important about that, Chuck, is that there is also out there, which is coupled or interrelated with the federal estate tax, what's known as a federal gift tax. Now, the federal gift tax is a tax that's imposed during the lifetime of the person, so before they pass away, on any gifts that they give above a certain amount per person. For 2022, that amount is $16,000. People may recall for many, many years, it was $10,000 per year. And why that interrelates with the estate tax is that if you give gifts over that $16,000 a year per person amount, that cuts into that $12,060,000 exclusion that I referenced in regards to the federal estate tax. So an area that the executor, and this is another an area where executor services can be extremely helpful, is if you run into a large enough estate where there may be federal estate tax issues, or maybe the value of the estate is high, but it's not as high as the $12,060,000 threshold. However, maybe the person was giving a lot of gifts away during her or his lifetime. That's something that the executor is going to have to look into, and they may not be equipped to do it. So an area where executor services, Chuck, can come in and help is going through documents that the person had during their lifetime, going through tax returns, gift tax returns, et cetera, to pour through that information so that an accurate, if necessary, federal estate tax return can be prepared.
And I found it very interesting, as we really have researched gift tax. Is that something as well from an estate planning perspective? Do gifts need to be sort of set up in advance? It's not something that can be, the executor can't make a gift of anything. Is that right?
Correct. That's when you're talking about gift tax, that's a component of estate planning that's done for that person when they're alive, and making sure that gifts are structured to avoid the estate tax, in the sense of, a lot of times you will see strategies where the person can maximize their per person exclusion amount, which, as I mentioned, is $16,000 a year per person. So there's strategies that are done during the lifetime of the person, and that's typically a factor of estate planning.
So, and I wanted to make a point of that, because that is something that you would want somebody like a Mike Nally to take care of for you, because that is not something that executor services does. We do not get into the estate planning, the legal aspects. We're more the execution side of helping people go through that process. So I wanted to also talk a little bit about maybe some of the other things that people may not be aware of. So for instance, there is an executor is eligible to take an executor fee for managing an estate. Now, does that fee become income to that executor when they're reporting their personal taxes?
It does, Chuck, because it becomes essentially compensation that is paid to them. So the executor or administrator reports that on her or his 1040 as essentially miscellaneous income. So it is fully taxable to the executor. Now, the benefit when we're talking about taxes is that executor commission can serve as deductions from Pennsylvania inheritance, estate tax, and also one other tax that an executor needs to be mindful of, which is fiduciary income tax. And Chuck, when in your experience as an executor, you've experienced that. Essentially, the estate, just like the decedent that it supersedes, becomes a tax-paying entity. So any items of income, such as capital gains, so like sale of real estate, sale of stock, sale of vehicles, or interest or dividends, has to be reported on an IRS Form 1041. And then there is the Pennsylvania Companion PA 41, and that is a responsibility of the executor. Again, another thing, executor services can help to make sure that that's getting done properly, making sure, as we typically do with our clients, getting them to the right accountant to make sure that that gets prepared.
And that's one of the other aspects, too. We've talked a little bit in the past about the timeline of an estate. An average estate is going to take 14 to 16 months, and that's if everything is done correctly. So as a good example would be, let's say you're the executor on an estate, and the date of death is, say, in November of a particular year. That estate, even at the 14 to 16 months, now has the potential to run into two different tax years. And depending on if you're able to settle, have everything done within that 16 months, if it takes longer, there's the potential there's 3 years involved.
Correct.
And these are things that by having executor services on as part of the team in conjunction with the estate attorney, we try to make that efficient so the estate doesn't grow in size and length of time or processing, because that only eats away at the proceeds from the estate.
That is an excellent point, Chuck, because One of the things that we have noticed that causes a lot of times estates to drag into another tax year is because of how much time it takes to sell real estate or sell investments or marshal the assets. And as a result, as you correctly pointed out, by an executor not considering executor services, what they're effectively doing is ensuring there's going to be more professional fees paid to CPAs to do another round of returns, making sure also ensuring that there may end up being more tax exposure and expenses because it's taking longer to administer.
Okay, this again, I think this is all invaluable information for folks that are out there. We're up against another break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about sort of the final distributions and closing out of the estate.
This is Chuck O'Neill with Executor Services. One of the reasons we created our company was to give families the peace of mind that executors' duties are handled correctly. We work alongside the estate attorney, CPA, financial planner, and other professionals to ensure the efficient settlement of the estate. Executor Services performs 80% of executor tasks while you maintain control and legal authority as the executor. We are currently offering a free consultation. Just give us a call at 412-515-0141 or online at executorservices.com.
All right, we're back. This is Chuck O'Neill with Executor Services at 412-515-0141, or you can get us on the web at executorservices.com.
And Mike Nally from Nally, Elias & Associates, PC. And you can get us at 724-375-4005 or on the web at www.nallylaw.com.
So I think the next piece we're going to talk a little bit about, Mike, is going to be one of the things that has to happen before the final settlement, before the estate closes, is the executor is responsible to make sure that all debts are settled, that any refunds that are coming back to the estate, any escrow funds, that all has to be taken care of before a final distribution to beneficiaries and before the estate can be actually closed. So what are some of the, we've talked a little bit about escrow and those types of things. So how does that actually work? Because I know, for example, on a retirement account, if a retirement account is cashed out, the broker is responsible for retaining a 10% escrow for income taxes on an IRA, for example. Those funds still need to come back to the estate for distribution. How complicated is that process of getting those funds back into the estate?
It's not so much a complicated process, Chuck, as it's cumbersome in terms of the amount of time it takes because there's a lot of forms that have to be completed. And essentially, you brought up a good point, retirement accounts that don't have named beneficiaries that now are payable to the estate. All of that income is taxable. So as you mentioned, where there will be typically a withholding component to it, at least 10%. However, what is the most tax advantageous thing to do is that ultimately the income from that IRA or that retirement account be distributed to the beneficiaries so that the ultimate income tax reporting falls to the beneficiaries. They get what's called a K-1 form that is generated out of the 1041 return that we talked about before the break, the fiduciary income tax return. And it's important that that get done because the way that the brackets are structured, trusts and estates have very, very compressed tax brackets, meaning it only takes about $13,000 in income to an estate to get to the top tax bracket, whereas it takes, you know, people like us and anyone over hundreds of thousands of dollars in income. So that's an important thing there, is to make sure that that's taken care of. And then in talking about with the escrow, typically what we do, the escrow allows us, particularly when we're settling estates informally, where family members get along, the executor has taken care of all the creditors and all the debts. Now what we do is essentially we can, through what we call a family settlement agreement or non-judicial settlement agreement, we can otherwise settle the estate, distribute the assets. We always prepare on behalf of our clients a final accounting, and that final accounting is designed to capture all of the financial transactions in the life of that estate. And that's something, again, and I've talked about it in all of our segments, where executor services can be extremely helpful, Chuck, because going into that accounting, in my opinion, you can never have enough detail.
And I think that's exactly one of the key points, that not everybody out there that may be appointed as an executor is a detailed-oriented person. And that is a big impact for an estate. And that's where executor services can come in and be that support for that executor and make sure that everything is documented, that we have captured absolutely everything, and that that information is then transferred over to the estate attorney for them to verify and check and make sure that everything that's surrounding the estate is complete and accurate. And one of the relationships, one of the things that are other areas I want to talk about is what happens once the bank account, once everything is paid out. So one of the things that we have to look at is the CPA is probably one of the last individuals that gets paid because they file that final return. So once they have been paid and the distributions are made in, that estate bank account is still there. What do we do with it? Do we just close it? Do we leave it there? Should it be there for a period of time after the estate is closed? Or how does that work?
Well, typically, Chuck, by the time the accountant prepares the 1041, PA 41, like you alluded to, distribution of most of the assets has been made. There typically is a little bit of money that's retained. A lot of times it's from that inheritance tax escrow. And the way that we approach it is because when you informally settle an estate, and you can only do that when you don't have things like insolvency or unpaid creditors, you know, not enough money to pay the creditors or disputes. And because under our probate code, after 1 year passes from the first time that advertisement that we talked about early on in the first week is run in both the Pittsburgh Law Journal and the Post-Gazette or Trib-Review or any other publications outside the, you know, Allegheny County and other newspapers of general circulation. At that point, the executor is free to distribute whatever's left over without any fear or worries about other creditors coming back. So that, and that's what happens. Then that final distribution, the estate account can be closed. Typically, we would file with the, in Allegheny County, it's the Department of Court Records, Wills Orphans Court Division. In other counties, it's the Register of Wills. It's a 10.6 status report, which is a nice way of telling the court everything's done. Everything's finished. And that we did so informally. We also file that if we have to go through formal accounting, it's sort of the last document that we file.
So there is a difference between an informal closing and a formal closing. And I think one of the areas for the formal closing is it's basically contains information that is an audit of the entire estate. And I think that's for executor services. As we go along, this becomes something that is just part of our standard operating procedures. That way we're prepared to handle either informal or formal.
Exactly. And when we look at going through the audit process, and that's what it's called, the account, the formal account and audit process in Allegheny County and in Washington County, that's in open court, which means you file your accounting with the court and the attorney representing the executor or administrator has to appear in open court before the judge and make certain statements attesting to the truth of the accounting and also of what's called the petition for distribution or petition for adjudication. And now, when you file that formal accounting, I mentioned certain instances, insolvency, when you have disputes, when you have minor beneficiaries, when you have charitable beneficiaries, so now you have the Office of Attorney General involved as having oversight responsibility, all of those necessitate a proper, detailed, formal accounting, the same accounting we would give in informal settlements, but now, because a judge is looking at it, because other attorneys are looking at it on behalf of their respective clients, having someone like Executor Services provide that detail that can then be put into that accounting helps, in my opinion, to ensure that the executor or the administrator is not going to run into legal problems relative to that accounting.
So I think we brought it up during the last session that executor is also on the hook for any issues that occur with the accounting. So they're responsible, let's say, an expenditure which was made was really not related to the estate. Or taxes are not paid on time and there's a fine. Those are things that executor potentially can be on the hook for.
Correct.
So that's another reason why you want to make sure that you're managing and marshaling and accounting for everything in the estate as you go along. To go back later and try to capture things is extremely difficult.
Absolutely, Chuck. Very cumbersome and very difficult on the attorney who's preparing these documents to keep having to go back to the client and say, well, what is this expenditure for? What is that? And with Executor Services, there is a continuous and methodical, hey, this month's expenses, this is what we did, this is what we sold. All of that comes to us. Then we put it into our software. And now everything has consistency and fluidity to it.
Great, great. So how about one other question from the legal side of it? Once an estate is closed, can it be reopened? Can a beneficiary or somebody file a motion or something that they now disagree with something even though the estate is closed?
Well, I'll answer it this way. The short answer is an estate can always be reopened. We had actually had that happen one time recently where an estate had to be reopened We had taken it through the formal audit process, and then it turned out that there was another asset out there, and so we had to actually reopen the estate. Now, a beneficiary cannot, unless there, I'll tell you the circumstances. A beneficiary, if they don't object during the audit to something that was done during the estate, they have no other recourse. Unless they can show they weren't properly given notice of that audit, then there can be some retroactive, or what we lawyers call nunk-pro-tunk, relief for that person.
Excellent. Well, boy, we've covered a lot of material again today, and there's a lot more material out there we can cover. So
absolutely.
I'd like to thank Mike for joining us again for this session. I think it was very informative. This is Chuck O'Neill with Executor Services, LLC, 412-515-0141, or on the web at executorservices.com.
And thank you, Chuck. Michael Nally, on behalf of Nally, Elias & Associates, at 724-375-4005. Our office is out in Center Township in Beaver County, and we're on the web at nallylaw.com. Thanks for having me again.
Thanks, Mike, and we'll see you in the near future here with another segment.